Okay, Judges 4. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord God and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. In the hill country of Ephraim, the sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, Behold, the Lord the God of Israel has commanded, Go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. And I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand. Then Barak said to her, If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up with him. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, who had separated himself from the Kenites, from the sons of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak in Zanim, which is near Kadesh. Then they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, and Sisera called together all his chariots, 900 iron chariots, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, Arise, for this is a day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army, and the edge of the sword fell before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not even one was left. Now Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, Turn aside, my master. Turn aside to me. Do not be afraid. And he turned aside to her in the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a bottle of milk and gave him a drink, and she covered him. And he said to her, Stand in the doorway of the tent, and it shall be if anyone comes and inquires of you and says, Is there anyone here? You shall say, No. But Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg, seized a hammer in her hand, and went secretly to him, and drove the peg into his temple. And it went through into the ground, for he was sound asleep and exhausted, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to him to meet him and said to him, Come, I'll show you the man whom you are seeking. And he entered with her, and behold, Sisera was lying dead with a tent peg in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the sons of Israel, and the hand of the sons of Israel pressed heavier and heavier upon Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Amen. Okay. This is kind of the beginning when judges start getting really, really good, and we're going to get a lot of stories, and if you like action and adventure, this is definitely where we're going. Now, we have a very interesting part of the passage, and now we're introduced to Deborah. Deborah is a judge. Obviously, by the name, we know she's a woman. But very interestingly, there are some key characteristics about her that not only as a woman, that actually sets her apart from all the other judges. Number one, she's the only judge that's actually called a prophet. And so there was something in her ministry, her prophetic ministry, that set her above everyone else. All the other judges were actually not considered prophets, and until really Samuel comes onto the scene. The second part is each of the judges, they gained that title because of their military conquest. So Ehud did his duty. Shamgar, remember, killed 600 men with an ox bone. Everyone actually gained the title of a judge because of their military might. Deborah actually is not involved in any wars or that we can speak of at this time. And so she basically reached that place of being a judge purely, number one, on the favor of the Lord, number two, the Holy Spirit that's come upon her, and number three, her prophetic ministry. And so she definitely has a special place, not only in Judges, but actually in the history of Israel. And so if you were to go and look up some books on Jewish faith or tradition, Deborah would fill a very prominent position over the history of Israel. So again, she was the only female. Now, you cannot get away from that. This is a huge, huge statement, not just in such a male-dominated society, but this will have repercussions later in the New Testament, and I think also in the church today. And so, again, prophet, non-military leader. The sad thing about this passage that I there's a lot of things missing, but I would have loved to hear the story of how she became a judge. I think that would be an amazing story of, and I'm sure there's many stories of her prophetic acuity. In other words, how precise her prophetic words were, to the sense that people, even though she was a woman, had to say, "Wow, you have the Spirit of God. Like there, you are something special." And now she's elevated to that place of judgeship, really after about 20 years after Ehud dies. And there's a little interlude. Shamgar doesn't really last that long. And so during that time, Deborah was really proclaiming to Israel to come back to the Lord during that time of 20 years of having fallen away from the Lord and now under Canaanite captivity. Now the Canaanites, if you remember before this time, they were in subjection to the Israelites. But over those 20 years, they had gained in strength and now they were totally oppressing the Israelites. I mean, they were oppressing them. And so Deborah rises up again, one of these themes in Judges, that he takes a nobody in this regard. And this is no offense to all the women here, but just speaking to the times, but raises up a woman to lead Israel from calamity into the purposes of the Lord. So she's judging. Now, there's some, it says the wife of Lapidoth. Now, this means very many different things. And so obviously we know that she was married, for sure. Part of it is, if you read, we'll go through chapter 5 tomorrow, and it's the Song of Deborah. And it relays, and probably why the Israelites loved her so much, is that she actually ruled Israel with a mother's heart. And in fact, if you talk to Orthodox Jew today, they would actually consider Deborah to be what they would call her, the mother of Israel. And so indicative that she ruled Israel with a maternal heart, with the real heart of a mother. And it made a huge difference in this way. So the word of the Lord comes, again, remember the prophetic word, the word of the Lord comes to Deborah and says, okay, we're going to go take out Sisera. Sisera was the chief commander. He was like the scariest dude in Canaan. And he governed basically, was it 800, is it 900? 900 iron chariots, which is a phenomenal army at that time. And so he says to Barak, we need to go, and you need to go, and you need to fight. God's given them into your hands. Now, Barak, I mean, you'll have to kind of read between the lines here. Barak is unfortunately not really a man of faith. And there's actually some scholars that think Barak was actually Deborah's husband. We don't know. There's one speculation there. Because the idea of the wife of Lapidoth, In Greek, you know, wife and woman are actually the same word. And so they're fairly interchangeable. And so Lapidoth meant, she also, the text actually could be written or read, she's the woman of splendor, or she's the woman of the torch. And you know, a lot of these different things could be a region and whatnot. So, I mean, don't worry, you don't have to worry about Barak that much. I don't think they're married, but in any case, there's some speculation there. So Barak, his lack of faith, he says to her, well, if you come with me, then we'll go. Then I'll go and fight. which is really a lack of faith. And this was kind of indicative of the times. Generally, what happened was that the Israelites would went in battles and they were kind of afraid. They would take like lucky charms to the battlefield. And Deborah was definitely one of these lucky charms in this regard. You remember later on, remember in Samuel when the Israelites had basically lost to the Philistines. Remember, they asked for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought to the battle, and which was a huge mistake because the Philistines actually take the Ark. But that was kind of the mindset of the Israelites. When they were afraid, they leaned on some crutch, some holy object or holy person, and so they asked Deborah. So it's not necessarily out of line through their history, but it showed the lack of faith. And so Deborah says, and listen to the words very carefully, okay, I'm going to go with you, but the splendor, the glory of this battle is going to belong to a woman. Now, most people thought that she was referring to herself, but she wasn't. It was a prophetic word. In other words, it was kind of like, and this is a good lesson for us. Deborah says, okay, Barak, if you go to battle, you're going to win. And he's afraid, so he goes, please come with me. And then basically the punishment of the lack of faith is you will not receive the glory for this battle. You're going to fight, but the glory is going to go to somebody else. In fact, it's going to go to a woman. And so the story goes, they get there, verse 12, Sisera is told that Barak has gone up to Mount Tabor. Sisera called together all his chariots, 900 of them, and they came to the river Kishon. Now Deborah, now again, you're going to have to read between the lines. Deborah says to Barak, arise. Now notice the punctuation is the way we can see it in English. Arise, for this is a day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Behold, the Lord has gone out before you. Actually, bad translation. The better translation is, has not the Lord gone out before you? This was a common phrase used that would depict basically that, hey, God's moving. Quit delaying. Hasn't he defeated, Sisera before your hands? And so we see that if you look historically, Mount Tabor is up on the hill. In other words, it's an advantageous military position. Below the valley where the river is, Kishon, that's actually where the chariots are. They're terrified of these chariots. And so history will tell us that unfortunately Barak hung out in the hill for a little too long. He's probably mustering this. He's got an advantageous military position. If you've ever studied military tactics, you always want the high place. And so, but he's afraid to engage with the chariots below because 900 iron chariots. That's scary. So he's kind of hanging out and biding his time. And finally, Deborah says, hey, arise. Finally, this is a day. Hasn't the Lord given them into your hands? And now Barak is so filled with excitement. Now, this is his faith comes into action. He leaves the mount. In other words, he leaves his comfort zone and he goes down to the valley to battle. And they kick some serious butt. I mean, they kick butt, man. 10,000 troops, 900 chariots, ridiculous. Now, 900 iron chariots, you're talking about thousands of other troops as well. So they're totally outnumbered. They come to this place, and Sisera leaves his chariot, runs away, and he runs into the Kenite. If you remember who the Kenites were, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro was a Kenite, and so this is kind of their history. Jael, which is the woman, invites Sisera into her tent, and you know this story, invites him, puts a rug over him, and then takes a tent peg, which is probably one of the pegs used to prop up the tent, and drives the tent into the guy's skull, so much so that the passage actually says that it actually hit the ground. So the peg went straight through his head and into the ground and then was victorious. Now, I want you to know that Jael, she actually operated treacherously in this regard. This goes against every part of their culture. Their idea is when you invited someone into your tent, especially in this nomadic culture, which is actually still alive to this day. I don't know if you ever saw that Navy SEALs movie Mark Wahlberg? Do you guys ever see that movie? I forgot the name of it. It was really good. But that was actually the same kind of system that when the Bedouins or when the Arabs, they were invited into their village, it was actually the oath of the village to protect the sojourner, even to put up arms. And that's actually what we see in the movie. These guys actually protected this Navy SEAL from Al-Qaeda. Incredible movie. I encourage you to watch it. But it's that same, that tradition goes all the way back from here. And so Jael actually acted treacherously, and she actually committed murder. The husband welcomed him into the tent, which meant that there was an oath of protection. There's an oath of secrecy in some ways as well. But Jael, probably because she understood the history of Jethro and Moses and whatnot, and maybe she felt some kind of obligation. Most scholars believe that she probably wanted some kind of favor in doing this bidding. And so it does this thing. And I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's one of these things that you have to really kind of resolve in the text a little bit in this regard. But in any case, and so it happens. And he gets crushed and he gets killed. And then Jael, a woman, actually receives the glory in that regard. So there's a lot of takeaways from this passage that we can see. One of those takeaways is, and really, I want to really focus on Barak a bit today because I feel like he's got the best lessons for us. You know, when God asks you to do something, just do it. Just do it. And think of it this way. All the benefits of that obedience will be lost when we move in a lack of faith. See, the Bible tells us, Proverbs, many of the plans of the man's heart, the plans of the Lord, they shall prevail. God is a sovereign God. God's work is going to be done. And God asks you specifically to be involved in his work. You can say yes, and then reap all the benefits of obedience, or you can have a partial obedience and say, yeah, but, blah, 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 whatever, and then the benefits will go to somebody else. And so, I mean, think about it, put it in Barak's shoes, okay? The dude goes out and fights, but he gets none of the glory whatsoever because he lacked in trusting the Lord. And so partial obedience is also disobedience in many ways. We talk about that a lot, especially at EMP. That seems to be kind of the theme of the Old Testament in many ways. Partial obedience or delayed obedience is still disobedience. And unfortunately for Barak, he loses out on all the benefits that God had reserved for the victor. And instead, it goes to a woman, unfortunately. The other part, too, is really the, I look at it two different ways, okay? I'll look at the positive side, the spirit of encouragement. And here's Barak kind of biding his time. He's in his comfort zone, and the spirit of encouragement, Deborah, comes, and in such a way that he's able to leave his comfort zone and fight, which is powerful. That there's nothing like that word of encouragement in our lives. And I can't tell you how many times, and to be honest, a lot of it, my wife has really played this part in the sense that, you know, there were some things, I don't know, should I do this, should I not do this? And, you know, and you don't want to get out of your comfort zone. You don't want to get out of the high place, the safe zone, and enter into the fight, enter into the dangerous zone. But it takes that word of encouragement that brings us out and kind of back into, oh yeah, God is in this thing. Because that was the word of the Lord from the beginning, and then we get to engage, and then spoils of victory in that regard. And so it's great. It's wonderful to hear that word of encouragement. And I want to encourage you that when the Lord gives you a word in your heart, particularly for somebody else, be faithful in delivering that word, because it could just be kind of that word of Deborah, that word of encouragement that will bring people from disobedience into obedience. So that's a wonderful thing. The flip side is Barak on this hand of wanting to be safe, wanting to stay in the hill country, not wanting to face the dragon, you know, face the iron chariots in this regard. But, I mean, the good thing is he eventually obeys and he goes down. But that delay, you know, that delayed obedience in that regard, it's a sad thing, because the word of the Lord says, I've given them into your hands. And then because of fear, he's unable to engage in many ways. And so I wonder how many of us that we have the word of the Lord in our heart, but yet unfortunately we are more driven by our fears than we are by that word. And so I wonder how many of us here and also listening online that we unfortunately are afraid to obey, and so we stay in that safe place. But I want to encourage you, the word of encouragement is coming to us that will bring us in from the place of apathy into the place of action. So let's close our eyes. I hope that spoke to you in some way. Really, I mean, really spoke to me. Is there anything in your life that you're delaying obedience in? Because you're afraid? Man, it's not easy to face 900 iron chariots. But I love the faith of Barak eventually. He left his comfort zone and he went down to the fight. And God came through. See, it's not about us. It's about him. He will always come through. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul wrote in Romans 8. And so I want to encourage you. I feel like there's some of you in here today, and God's challenging you to step out of your comfort zone in some way. It could be in relationship to your business. It could be in relationship to something going on in your family, in some relationship. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I feel like some of you, it's in relation to ministry. God's calling you into serve in some capacity. But we just want to stay safe. Let the spirit of encouragement come upon you today to lead you into his victory. Let's pray as we sing. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for the spirit of encouragement to come. That will lead us into the battle. Pray for the spirit of encouragement, the Holy Spirit to come. To lead us into the fight. No longer sitting on the sidelines. No longer wanting to stay in our comfort zone. But a zeal for the Lord. Understanding that His victory is at hand. The battle has already been won. The victory belongs to the Lord. He just wants us to come in and just mop up. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for that faith to rise up in their lives as well. Let's pray for God's healing word, especially those that are battling cancer. Let's arm them. Let's send that encouragement in their fight for their health. Let's pray. Pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. Pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision. with our mission focus, and let's pray for grace. Let's pray for God's touch upon her in Cambodia. Let's pray for the ministry at Bloom. Let's pray for God's provision in her life. And it's the Spirit of the Lord just moving upon her in the ministry. Pray for Pastor Sophia in Japan, especially in her language studies. Pray that she would do well and that she would continue to grow in her Japanese, and the Holy Spirit would continue to breathe life in this country. So let's look at these two countries and our friends ministering there. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. So let's lift up intercessory prayer team, particularly Matt, who's leading. Let's pray for the well, Cascade. Pray for his anointing and his protection over each of these ministries and leaders and team members. Let's pray for, really right now, just for an added measure of his grace to minister healing and love in our community. Let's cover our education ministries. So let's pray for Noah's Ark. Pray for Pastor Marion E. Ling. Pray for the youth group with P-Nate, SPU, P-Ricky, and Andrew. Pray for anointing young people to really encounter the Lord. Let's pray Holy Spirit would fill each of our kids, our students, our babies. So let's just cover. Pray for our Thursday outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights as the ladies go out to minister. Let's pray for favor, especially amongst a lot of the relationships they've been building over the years. Let's also pray for the homeless outreach, that God would as well really minister through those relationships. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers that are going out. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Let's pray for Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, and Olympic. Let's pray Holy Spirit would touch our leaders, that would use them, the hosts, and each place where they gather together, the presence of God would be thick. People would encounter the Lord in a very deep, personal way. just as a last prayer point, if I could ask you to pray for Juanita. She's actually flying in today, this afternoon. And so we're going to be celebrating her 90th birthday over the next few weeks. And so we just want to honor her as a church for her love for this body and her prayers. And so pray that she'd have a safe flight. I mean, she's in the air right now. Pray that she would arrive safely and that she would really feel the blessing of the Lord for all of her labors and what she's done for our community. And let's just cover this next couple weeks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word, God. Lord, you are in the business of raising up nobodies, God, to do amazing things, God. Lord, we're nobodies. Lord, you're going to use somebody. You might as well use us, Lord. And so help us to follow you, God, to leave our comfort zones, to not be content to be on the hill, God, but to go down to the battle, Lord, where victory is assured. Give us a strength. Let that word of encouragement come over our lives, God. We thank you. Watch over us today. We pray for our dear mother of the house, God, to come safely, Juanita, to Hong Kong. Father, we pray for all the house churches and all the different things, outreaches going on today. Come, Lord Jesus, and be glorified in the midst of us, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.